He's putting on a show for you. Doug Kellett on Talk Radio 850.
All right, welcome back. 7:35 this morning. Good to be with you here. And we're going to be joined, Dave and I are, by the daughter of Billy Graham, Ann Graham Lotch. And we're glad to have her on the show this morning. Talk about, really maybe get her views on really the state of where our culture is these days and such. Also, Ann, good to have you on the program, first of all. How are you?
Thank you so much, Doug. Good morning. I'm doing good. I'm having my cup of coffee, so I hope I'm alert.
All right. Well, we go by pots of coffee here, not just cups.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I've got a triple espresso, so that, I sort of get it in one shot.
Yeah, Dave gets here at 3:30, so it's
yeah, a lot.
It's an early show. We were just talking a minute ago about your dad, obviously, and obviously the great, I don't like to use the term career when I'm talking about, ministers and pastors and such, but the impact on society, during that period of time, there's just not a Billy Graham, and this is not, casting anything against anybody else, but there just isn't a Billy Graham out there today to speak about some of the things going on in our society, is there?
It's interesting, isn't it? And I feel like he was just a man for his time, and it was a phenomena. The thing that I remember being impressed when I went to Amsterdam for the Itinerant Congress of Evangelists in 2000, and Daddy wasn't able to come. He had put it on, but he wasn't able to be there. And I remember telling the evangelists, there are 10,000 of them from all over the world, that one day Billy Graham wouldn't be here. It's up to us. It's up to each one of us to tell people about Jesus and to share the hope that we have for tomorrow. And I feel like sometimes we look to a person when actually it's our responsibility. And
well,
it can
that's
be our responsibility to speak out also about some of these issues that you're talking about.
No, that's so true. I think about some of the, the greats like Billy Graham who are really not on the scene to speak out anymore. And you're right. Maybe we just are looking to them to maybe make the impact. But the difference, I think, and Dave can certainly join in here, the difference between your dad maybe than others was that non-believers or people who were not religious in any particular way, to use that term, they would listen to him rather than maybe they're turned off by others.
Yeah, he had enormous credibility, still does actually, everywhere I go. There's enormous respect for him, and I think one reason is because he never lost his focus. He spoke the truth as he understood it and never backed down, and yet did it with such love. And so people weren't offended by it.
The other thing, too, I think the clarity of his message, right? I mean, I could almost do a Billy Graham message. Seen it so many times over the years. But am I right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, he would say that he only had one message, and basically it was wrapped up in the Gospel of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. That was a big banner over Daddy's head when he preached. No man comes to the Father except by me. And then that was his message, but then he would build around it different stories and applications and current events. But that was the message he gave every time he preached.
I was going to say, as a young person, I think that's what attracted me, was he would include current references where maybe the pastor of the church wouldn't do so. I always thought that it seemed more relevant at the time.
Yes.
Anyway.
That's right. And so when we look at what's happening today, it's interesting when Coach Dean Smith, who was a personal friend, he's just stepped into eternity, and then we have these three young people that were just tragically killed. And so one of the things I think we need to think about is where we're going when that happens to us, because we're not promised tomorrow. Every single one of us will die. And so the important thing is to have it decide where you're going to be when that moment comes. And that's one thing that Daddy did. He presented the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that Jesus died to give us life, that we can have eternal life, which means not only knowing God now in a personal relationship, but knowing that when we die and we step into eternity, we step right into our Father's house. We're going home.
And I wanted to ask you, I want to mention too, for people listening for the first time and they may not know, you have an outstanding show on our sister station, News Radio 680 WPTF, called Living the Light. It's Sunday mornings, 8:30 to 9. And I want to get your thoughts on, you did an outstanding job on, as you do every week, but one that hit home to me is when you were talking about strongholds recently on your show. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, you're referring to Jericho, is that right? When Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, so they were going to possess everything that God had promised to give them, and there was Jericho blocking their path, and they had to walk around it every day for 7 days, the seventh day seven times, and then the walls came down, and they were able to take that stronghold, and I think it's a picture of prayer. And sometimes we can have strongholds in our lives. It can be a habit. It can be an attitude. It can be a memory, something that just blocks us from going forward. And sometimes those strongholds, they just don't come down. And so for me, I have to wrap them in prayer. And it's like every day as I do that, just little bit by little bit, God gives me freedom and gives me victory over that stronghold. So I can move forward. Sometimes it's a memory, you know, but we can move forward and not live in the past and not live on the other side of that stronghold, but move forward and claim all that God has for us.
I think one of the things that I was impressed with by you, and as well as your dad and Franklin, is the fact that you have always, all three of you have been very honest and open about things, including when you talked about your own personal struggles with prayerlessness, when you said strongholds. I thought that was really, it's a lot of times I feel like evangelists talk down to us, and I felt like that with all three of you, the Graham family, being in ministry, that you all have put us to where you're just human like us.
You know, my family would be glad to tell you just how human we are. but we're on a journey. For me, I'm on a journey. You know, I put my faith in Jesus when I was a little girl, and I've been on a journey ever since. And that journey, I'm not perfect. One day when I step into heaven, the Bible says that, you know, I'll be like Jesus, and at that point I'll be perfect. But until then, you know, it's a journey, one step at a time, one day at a time. I do wrong things. I sin. I have to confess and ask for cleansing, not for forgiveness, because when I went to the cross, I was forgiven of all of my sin, but I come to him and confess the things I do that are not right so that I can maintain a sweet fellowship with God. And that's very important, so that you operate out of a fullness of his presence in your life. But then, you know, we just move on. And so somebody has said the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And it's ridiculous for me to point my finger at somebody else or to think I'm better than somebody else when we're all sinners and we all need a Savior and we're all on a journey.
And I want to ask you about the culture in America today. You know, you think your dad, well, he's 95, right?
He's 96.
96 now.
Yeah,
so he's seen
97.
Think about how much he's seen, right?
Yes, my goodness.
He's got to be dismayed a bit about the way our culture has gone. I mean, because I think I am. I think many people are, that we see an erosion that's just, it seems like it's escalating the last 30 years here.
You know, actually, it's really escalated almost like the last 10 years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I was thinking about that this morning. It's just on every level, in every area, just everywhere you turn, it's amazing. It's almost like our foundation is crumbling.
Well, we talk about toppings. My first talk show was, I hate to date myself, was back in 83. And I think about the topics we talked today versus what we talked about. We would have never conceived some of the discussion today.
Oh, or the things that we see, or the things that, you know, are on television, or movies, or books, or magazines, or in fact, I was talking with my daughter. I have three little granddaughters, and just thinking about the world in which they're being raised, how can they keep themselves innocent and pure and good and kind in the midst of the things that are thrown at them constantly? So, you know, it's a very challenging time, I think, to be a parent. And so all I can do, it's you all had referred to the series Living in the Light, which where I've been doing Joshua, but he made the decision at the end of that book. He said, "It's for me and my house. You know, we will serve the Lord." And so for what I do, for me and my house, I want to maintain my faith in God. I want to maintain my close relationship with him through prayer and Bible reading. And then when I see things that are not right, there's some things, I mean, you could speak out all day long about these things, you know, just drive yourself crazy. But sometimes there is something that comes specifically to your attention, or that you crosses your path, and you know you have to get involved. You know you have to do something about it and speak out. And I think I was talking actually with Joel Rosenberg. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but he's a best-selling author. And actually, the first time I came across him was on WPTF. He was doing a drive time show, but he's moved to Israel, and we were talking by phone yesterday. And he was saying he and Eric Metaxas had been talking, who's the author of Bonhoeffer, and they felt like they were back in 1930. You know, that they could see the same dark clouds, the same encroaching evil, the same dismantling of morality, and that was present before World War II. And so we're living in a very strategic time, I believe, and it's a time to make sure that we're right with God, make sure that the foundation of our lives is strong and firm, and then when a storm comes, and I believe storms are going to come to our nation, I believe not, and I don't mean just snowstorms and ice storms, but storms in life, storms in our government and our economy, And when they come, then we want to be strong enough so that we can stand and that we can help other people to weather the storm also. And that comes from just, first of all, your priority is to maintain your strong, personal, right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ.
And I wanted to ask you a question. As someone that has young kids, when you were talking about bringing them up the right way, what would you tell people like myself who have, I have a son that's almost two and a daughter that's almost one. Oh. We had them back to back, and also a stepson that's almost 16. I have the bookends of you all.
Oh,
what would
my
you,
goodness.
Yeah, what would you tell them?
I would tell you to stay on your knees.
I do a lot.
That is a challenge. But, you know, one of the things practically, of course, is to be in a good church so that there's a youth group that where they have friends. I'm watching my 13-year-old daughter now, and it's, granddaughter, and it's so important to her to have friends. You know, that their friends are very, at that age, at your 16-year-old's age, it's very important to have friends, and it's important for you as a parent to know that their friends are good kids that will encourage, and they'll encourage each other in the right thing. So a church youth group can be a place to find it. When my children were being raised here in Raleigh, we were involved in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They had a very strong chapter at Broughton. And also at Daniels, where my children went to school. And so that helped give them some Christian friends. We also used, for babysitters, we used older kids, college kids, and young people that were strong Christians in their faith, so that my children were raised looking up to strong Christians. You know, so there's some things like that you can do, but then I think we just have to pray and ask God by His grace to protect them and keep them and... And then they watch our example, Dave. You know, it's interesting how children, my mother said, you can't teach your child to enjoy eating spinach if every time they see you eating yours, you gag. In other words, you know, we teach our children more by our example than we teach maybe by just our words.
Well, I think Dave is right, and so are you, Ann, about the things that are bombarding the young people today. I don't know how they deal with it. I think, with internet and such, it's just, yes. I mean, the information that, they got to be information overload almost,
yes,
right?
Yes, they do, And I think, I'm not into this so much because I don't have small children, but I know there are ways that you can put some controls on their phones and their iPads, their computers, and boy, I would look into that, the TV, you know, so that at least within the home, there's some parameters. And then to teach them, even outside the home, that they need to stay within those boundaries, because that social media, that is vicious. And I'm so thankful that I didn't have to deal with that myself or have my children deal with that, because... it just opens up a whole ugly world of bullying and things that we didn't have to deal with.
Well, you know, you think about it, in really just 30 years ago, all we had to deal with was television, really.
Yes.
Maybe the radio a bit, right? You kind of you kind of guard against maybe that getting into your home, but now the messages are everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, and you really can't keep them, I don't think, from getting into your home,
right.
Really.
And so you just have to teach them, I think, how to handle it and teach them those values and principles when they're young, and it may be that because they're exposed to it when they're young, then they're going to be stronger against it, and they'll be more disciplined, and, you know, rather than never having been exposed and all of a sudden being exposed, when then they would fold because it would be so phenomenally, like new, but when they're used to it, sort of, maybe that's a good thing in a way that we can train them to be strong, but we need to pass our faith on to our children. That is of primary importance. If they need to know about Jesus, and they need to be encouraged to put their own faith in Him and then walk with Him in a way that's pleasing to Him.
Do you think there's also maybe some apologetics that need to be sort of instilled in the young people? Because, you know, they get to college, they're going to be mocked. And, the professors now are openly mocking students who are believers. And so I didn't have to deal with that. I mean, I ran into a lot of I think that's the first person I ever ran into that didn't believe in God was actually a professor.
Yeah.
You know, I never heard of that.
Yeah.
But today it's much worse. You'd just be mocked and ridiculed, I'm sure, right in the classroom.
You know, that's right. And so I think we need as parents, but also as people ourselves, as adults, we need to know what we believe and why we believe it. There is so much biblical ignorance out there, and which is one reason I do what I do, you know, to try to teach the scriptures and just help people understand and know what the Bible says and what it means in their lives and how they can live it out. And then our children, we need to teach them the same thing, but I believe the key is that personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus, because if from a young age our children know God in a personal way, and they pray, and He answers their prayers, and they read the Scripture, and He seems to speak to them, and they develop their own faith, when they come to college, they're going to be less vulnerable to a professor who says God is not real, because they know God. You know, you couldn't have told me that God was not real. I know he is. And I knew he was. I developed my faith as a young person, and so I don't know that I could have succumbed to that. It would have been a challenge.
I just remember I was surprised.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I thought, wow, can't believe it.
Yeah.
Ann, it's been a pleasure having you on. I hope you'll come on with us again.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you having me. God bless you both.